Our faithful Creator. 1 Peter chapter 4, 17 to 19. Our God, who created us, has a good plan for our lives. May this truth enable us to say with the Apostle Paul in verse 19, "Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator." Following God, trusting Jesus, not just in the good times, but also in times of affliction, in times of difficulty, in times of suffering, because we lose the benefits of this earthly life, we are afflicted, well, by the permission of God, for our eternal benefit, as we are molded to become more like our Master, to reflect His glory through our sufferings for His name's sake. The Apostle Paul followed Jesus after he met Jesus by a bright light and a voice from heaven that blinded him but saved him. And later, our Lord restored his eyesight again. It is a terrible thing to be blinded, to not be able to see. Suddenly, life become pitch darkness. How frightening a prospect that can be. The Apostle Paul experienced that in his life. And when Jesus appeared to him, Jesus also said to him that he will have to suffer much for the gospel's sake, and as an apostle, as one who is sent by God on a mission to preach the gospel, he will go to the Gentile world. And he was able to trust Jesus when he wrote in his testimony in Philippians 1 verse 6, he says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Do you have that confidence when you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ that he will take care of you? Well, the Apostle Paul has that kind of a confidence when he entrusted his life to God. Although he entrusted his life to God reluctantly, he was a persecutor of the truth. But God had to confront him. Well, God confronts us in our life when we come to know Him, because He loved us and He wants that we be connected to Him. For He is our Creator. He is the one that gives us life. He is the one who sustains our life. Dear friends, the Apostle Paul understood it. And he has that confidence that having committed his life to Christ, he knows that the Lord will take care of him, come what may. And so he says, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So he was willing to stake all when he came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. "I will follow Jesus all the way. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back." The Roman world, as a result of the commitment of this man of God, was ignited it was set aflame with a gospel truth, so that by the time the Apostle Paul's life come to its end, there was a substantial number of Christians all over the Roman world. Countless men were snatched from the woeful torments of hell to the eternal blessing of life with God on earth and in heaven. That was the kind of relationship that he had with God. He knew his Creator, and he understood how faithful his God is to him. His own countrymen rejected the gospel, crucified their Messiah. Jesus was crucified by the Jews. Although they were under the Roman yoke, it was not the Roman governor who put the Lord upon the cross. It was the Jews themselves. Who are the Jews? These are the people who were committed, the oracles of God. They were to be the representative of God. God chose them to be a nation, to be a representative of God. God created the nation of Israel to point the nations of the world to acknowledge and trust and follow the only living and true God, the God of Israel, Jesus Christ, the prophet, the prophesied Messiah of Israel, who has come. And how they rejected him. So in AD 70, God judged the nation of Israel with almost total annihilation. Dear friends, this human history, this was what happened. An almost total annihilation. A people that is supposed to represent God to the world, as Peter wrote. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. Where is that? The temple of God in Jerusalem. That was a place where God has chosen to place his name. But what happened to the Jews? They desecrated their temple. Where is the temple of God now? Well, the temple of God is in you. How have you been living your life? Has it been honoring to God? Or has your temple been desecrated? Peter says to us, for the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And so the temple in Jerusalem, whom God has chosen to place his name, Peter prophesied, will be destroyed. And indeed, history tells us it was destroyed. And if it first begin at us, our text tells us in verse 18, if the righteous scarcely be saved, the Jews prided themselves to be the representatives of God before the world. And yet, they have no true relationship with their Creator. Their profession was but shallow and non-existent. Do you say you are a Christian, but you live a different life from how you profess you are? Well, Peter is saying to us that we must be true to our profession. God dealt with the Jews severely to demonstrate that they were supposed to be his, and yet in truth they do not belong to him. And so the gospel was given to the Gentiles as a result. The uncircumcision was counted for circumcision. They did not have the sign of the circumcision, and yet God accepted them because they were circumcised in the heart. They were true to their confession, although they were not Jews by descent. How is your testimony? Does your heart rebuke you? Or you are true to the confession of your faith? You see, God did not leave Himself without a witness. Although the Jews as a nation wholesale rejected Him, it was sad, but God left for Himself a faithful remnant among the Jews who acknowledged the Messiah, Jesus Christ. These God saved. And the writer of this epistle, Peter, is one of this privileged one. Who is Peter? Remember when we began the study, we said he was a fisherman by trade, one of the most humble profession in Israel. Nothing to boast about if you are a fisherman. And yet, how gloriously he was saved. The Lord Jesus met him on the shores of Galilee and said, "Peter, follow me." And what did he do? Well, he cast his nets and he followed the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the Apostle Paul says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made the foolish, or have God made foolish the wisdom of this world?" What wisdom are you looking for in your life? Well, I submit to you that we are looking for the wisdom that enables us to conquer death. Do you have that wisdom to conquer death? Because if you look at every family, what is the greatest sorrow that can come to any family? It is the separation that comes because of the death of a loved one. Is that not right? We have no way out, wise as we are. But God has provided a solution for us. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. If God has opened your spiritual eyes, you may not be wise to the people of the world. In fact, if you have chosen to walk with God, you may have suffered much loss of your worldly goods, of your worldly things. Well, the Word of God says to us, let us not count it but loss, as the Apostle Paul would say it. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, the base things of the world, and the things which are despised has God chosen, yea, things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Well, God is speaking to us here by His Word. A word that would cause his people to wake up, so that we may count it a privilege to be a part of the body of Christ in this age, that you are a child of God in such a time as this, as his humble witnesses here in the Blessed Hope Bible Presbyterian Church. So that we may say, as the Apostle Paul says to us, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in us will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God is saying to us, take hold of our God. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ to help you. Day to day, day by day, moment by moment, we are called to be his humble witness, willing to let him lead us, fulfill his will in us, even amidst suffering, persecution, because we follow our faithful Creator. There are three thoughts which we want to bring to you today. Firstly, from verse 17, we thank the Lord for granting us faith to obey the gospel, escaping the judgment to come. We thank the Lord for giving us faith. Faith to believe. You remember the time when you are not a Christian? Anyone who come and speak to you, you tell them, shut up. Don't talk to me anymore. Right? They can't bring anything in. Nothing can penetrate a hardened heart. But when the Lord saved you, how different it is. And you compare the time after you are saved, how the Lord melted your heart, how he enables you to believe. And so the Lord says to us, we ought to thank God for granting us faith to obey him, to obey the gospel, and to escape the judgment to come. Do you know how great that escape is? This life is very short compared with eternity. And to spend eternity in hellfire, it's no joke. And we must be waking up to the reality of the truth concerning our eternal peril. And so if we have been saved, we have understood the eternal things, then let us thank God daily for saving us. So that's the first thought. And we pray in verse 18, for God's mercy upon the unsaved, for our loved ones, for our friends and the world at large, who face, we said, a fearful awaiting of judgment. Frightening, isn't it? If you do not know God, you have not the Spirit of Christ in you, and when you die, wow, it's going to be an eternal judgment that is going to come. And so here is a contrast between the believer and his heart for the unbelieving around him. Verse 17 and 18. And verse 19, we trust God, committing our preservation to God, even amidst suffering and trials, choosing to do good according to the will of God. This is what Peter is exhorting the church to do. Don't give up your faith. Continue to do that which is good and right in the sight of God. You will be rewarded. The Lord sees. The Lord knows. And so this first thought, granting us faith, verse 17, to obey the gospel, escaping the judgment to come. Verse 17 says, "For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel?" Make sure that you are in the Lord. Make sure we never know when we will take our last breath. Only for those who trust in Jesus will have the assurance that absent in the body is to be instantly present with the Lord. Do you have that kind of assurance in your heart? I ask you today. Judgment must begin in the house of God. Those who come and hear the word, those who profess to know God, are you sure? The Lord wants you to be sure, to have that assurance of salvation. How important it is to be absent in the body and to be present in hell is a frightening prospect. The Jews in Israel during Jesus' time rejected their Messiah. So what happened to them when they die? Hellfire, darkness, gnashing of teeth. Is that a reality in your life, in your heart? Or do you have to, you know, go to a visual service to see the end of life? Then we would be awakened. Let's not wait until then. So if you have heard the gospel and you have not repented of your sins, I urge you to make right with God today. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. If you have read the Bible and you have not believed in what you have read, I pray that you will take God at His word. The Bible tells us, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, near thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. You hear, and these words come to you now, that if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For if the heart men believed unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference." Have you committed your life to God? Have you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior? For there's no difference, the Bible tells us, between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord is over all, is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, shall be saved. When God's judgment comes, dear friends, it's too late. If you have idols in your life and have not put them away, the Lord says to you that it will be a snare to you, because the devil will give you no peace. It is frightening to delve with the devil. Repent now, I say to you. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He promised that He will save you. You see the phrase in our text in verse 17? What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? What shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? While your mind is clear, while the scripture is being opened to you, let us be serious. Do not take this statement lightly. It may be our last chance of being saved before we will be lost forever. This is the way out of the sin problem. The end of sin is death. And Jesus Christ, in Him, the sting of death is eliminated. Because Jesus rose from the dead 3 days after He died. Right? A man dies, kaput, gone, right? Nothing to talk about. But here, we are preaching the message that a man rose from the dead. After 3 days means that the body is decomposed. No way back already. Well, we are providing for us a solution here. And so for us, for all who have confessed the Lord Jesus Christ and you have that assurance in your heart, let us thank God. The second thought in verse 18, a fearful waiting of judgment for the ungodly. For, and verse 18 says, the righteous scarcely be saved. Where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Let's just say, you are still hesitating and you are still wavering and you have not decided to follow Jesus. Well, our text says to you, there is only a fearful awaiting of judgment. Verse 18. Psalm 1, verse 4 to 6 tells us the judgment of those who reject God, who reject the gospel of God. The ungodly are not so, verse 4 of Psalm 1 says, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The chaff. Do you know what is the chaff? The chaff is the useless part of the grain. The part that you peel off. It is the grain that is useful, the husk that covers the seed. Right? It is that has life. The chaff has no life in itself. And if you put the chaff in the ground, it will not germinate. You need the seed in order to germinate. Do you have that life? The Lord is saying to you. If you have not life, then it's going to be a snare to you. It will choke the presence out of you. But if you choose to be quiet before God and not be distracted, then the Lord is saying to you, there is hope. The psalmist tells us, the ungodly is like the chaff. The wind driveth it away, Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. It is too late to say, God save me after you die. Your eternal destiny is decided. But while there is still a breath in you, you can still decide to repent of your sins and put away your idols and come to Jesus with a repentant heart, confessing your sins and putting away your idols and allowing the blood of Jesus Christ to wash away your sins. Has your sins been washed away? If your sins have been washed away, then there is not that fearful awaiting of judgment. You have that peace of heart, that peace of mind. But an urgency to share that message to the people around you. But here the Lord says to us that if you have committed your life to God, then verse 19 says, committing our preservation to God, even amidst suffering, choosing to do good. Verse 19 says, wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. If you have repented of all your sins and committed your life to Jesus, then you can be assured that He will bless your life with His protection, with His preservation, and by His infinite power. You have that strength to face the suffering in this life. But if you have not, and you are halfway there, and your life is not settled, your heart is not settled, well, the Lord says to you, woe it is. But if you have committed your life to God, then there must be a peace in your heart. There must be a strength that God gives to you, that you grow as a child of God. God brings to you His peace. Jesus says, in your life, you are blessed with the poverty of spirit. God enables you to mourn for your sins, that you have that hunger and thirst after righteousness, and that you are blessed with the heart of showing mercy to others. You are blessed with a purity of heart. You will see God in your life. And you will obtain mercy because you learn to be merciful to others. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. The Lord says to us, if you are following the law, you are not distracted. You are focused on living your Christian life. You don't let the world and the cares of this world take hold of you. Then the Lord says to you that your life will blossom. But as you walk with God, you continue to be a child of God, continue to want to be an ambassador for the Lord, He says to you that you will suffer persecution. You will suffer in your life. And so you ask yourself, Lord, what to do? Because the Christians in P
Peter's time, we're all suffering. They have named the name of Christ. They lost their property. They lost their jobs. They lost the things that they own. They lost relationships. They are suffering because they chose the way to heaven, that narrow way, the straight gate. And the Lord is saying to you here, don't be discouraged. If you have chosen to walk with God and you have suffered, previously you are accumulating and ensuring that, you know, your bank account cannot go below a certain level. Once it goes below a certain level, your anxiety will blow to the roof and you become totally worried. But now, well, you have the peace of heart to know that your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And because your faith and trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ, therefore, whether your bank account goes up, your bank account goes down, whether there's a financial crisis, whether you lose your job, whether you are sick and stricken, that cannot take away the peace in your heart. So Peter is saying to us that if you have committed your life to God, then know and have confidence that your God will see you through. If you have suffered for Him, if you have chosen to give instead of receiving, and you said, I've suffered loss, well, you know that the sower will in time reap. And the Lord says to us that if you will commit your life to God, doing good and persevering, you will not be worse for it. In fact, the Lord says to you that you would be better for it. And so verse 19 says, wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God. You have been doing the will of God. You want to walk with God. You do the things that is pleasing in His sight. Then let us commit the keeping of our souls to Him. Trust God to take care of you. Do you pray the Lord's Prayer each day? You ask God, God, give us this day our daily bread. Do you ask the Lord to give you this day the appetite that you can eat? You can have bread, but you have no appetite. Cannot eat. Give us this day our daily bread, that we may have bread on the table, and that we may have the strength to taste it. The taste buds are active. Taste it, enjoy it. Give us this day our daily bread. Do you pray this prayer? Deliver us from temptation, or lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, from the evil one. Well, if you are a child of God and you have committed your life to God, then you can be assured, right, that your prayer will be answered, that He will take care of you. He will send His holy angels to protect you. So if you read the Bible, then you would be flooded with many examples of God's care for His people. Every time they went on their knees to pray, every time they pleaded with God, they were the minority of the minority. The enemy is so powerful, 1,000 times their size. And yet, every one of the enemies were defeated. By the mercy of God, by the power of God. And so the Lord is saying to you, wherefore let them that suffer. If you have been walking with God, you have named the name of Jesus, and you have suffered, commit the keeping of your souls to Him. Say to the Lord Jesus, what you need. Let Him know how you have suffered. Will He take care of you? Well, Peter says that we have a faithful Creator. He says, the one that created you, the one that gave you spiritual life, is also the one that will sustain you and keep you. He has that power to make you. He has that power to preserve you. You know, it's so interesting at the creation account that God make the trees, that He make the herbs. The different types of medicinal plants to cure every sorts of diseases. Ah, how interesting. God provided for the healing of these people. And you know, you look at the, and the Lord says, after the fruit after its kind, you look at the fruits that God gives to us, every type of fruit you can think of. Wow, for your enjoyment, for your nourishment, for your strengthening. How God is so good. Have you ever think of His presence in your life and how He's keeping you? You know, the very vessel in your heart is kept by Him. We have many vessels in our body that is ensuring that, you know, we are functioning well. All of it is kept by God. And so Peter says to us, wherefore let them that suffer. If you have faced any setback because you have chosen to walk with God, do not be dismayed. This text is saying to you, do not be discouraged, but commit your life to Him. Commit yourself to Him. Commit your worries to Him. Continue to walk with Him. Continue to do good. Continue to do that which is right in the sight of God. Continue to sow, for in due time you shall reap. For we serve a faithful Creator. Our God knows. Our God cares. And so He says to each one of you, to each one of us, that we may be granted faith to obey the gospel, escaping the judgment. And we may be granted grace to go and give that message to those who are still outside the kingdom of God, perishing, and will perish any time. Right? Too late. You say, I want to speak to that person. It's too late. It's gone. Missed that opportunity. Committing our preservation to God, even amidst suffering, choosing to do good. If you have chosen to walk with God, follow Him, then do not be discouraged. If you have suffered anything, any setback, He says to you, He that has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. May the Lord's name be praised. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. Thank Thee for Thy mercy in granting us understanding that we serve a faithful Creator, and we can trust Him who hath begun a good work in us to preserve us, to do His will for His own honor and glory. When the Lord Jesus Christ will return, who has gone to prepare a mansion for us, that He will bring us to the heavenly mansion, and we would enjoy and be happy in the heavenly home that He has made for us, where there will be no more sorrow, no more tears, no more suffering, no more pain, no more death, for the former things are passed away. O Lord, help us, grant us spiritual eyes to behold the eternal things, that our hearts may be joyful, rejoice in this perishing world. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.